Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, "These are the words of the one who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door, which no one can shut. For you have only a little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Look at those who belong to the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews but are liars instead. I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I love you. Because you've kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is about to come upon the whole world. Test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never again leave it. Upon him I will write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We continue our message on the church of Revelation. Today we're going to look at Philadelphia, not Pennsylvania. We're going to look at the one in Greece. And this city, as we many of us know, is known as the city of brotherly love. A city that, in ancient times, built these great gates and these great walls that protected the city. But also, as much as they had this idea of brotherly love, the gates and the walls were meant to keep people out. The beautiful thing about brotherly love, that idea of people coming together and loving each other and working for a common cause, is you can do great things. The problem with brotherly love is what can happen is it's us, it's our group. We love each other, we're a band of brothers and sisters, and everybody else stay away. You're not in common cause with us, then you stay out. And so as much as Philadelphia did these great things and had this great brotherly love, they also made sure to keep out those who were not wanted. They had this idea that the ones we want, we keep protected, and the ones we don't, we keep out. And so the people there would have known that if you were part of the city, you were taken care of. But if you weren't allowed in. You were outside the city gates. And you couldn't just decide to come in because the gates kept you out, the doors kept you out. And Jesus comes along and reveals himself to these people of this city and reveals himself as the one who is holy and true. When we think about this, Jesus is the one we can trust. The one that is there for us, who is faithful. I don't know about you, but if you've got someone supposed to be part of your tribe, what do you want them? You want them to be true, don't you? But also it says he's the one who holds the key of David. And we, of course, understand that this is sort of a picture of him being part of the Davidic line, that he was the Messiah of Israel. But also a key represents, if you have a key, that means you can open something, or for us we think of, or maybe start something and start cars. But originally it was kept, a key opened a lock, allowed you to get into something. And Jesus says, "I am the one who holds the key of David. I am the one who has the authority to let you in." Though others may say, you're allowed this far and no farther. Jesus says, I have the key that matters. I have the authority to let you in. And that's what he does. He goes on and he says, I'm the one that can open doors that no one can shut. And when he comes to this church, he says, I know your deeds. Jesus knows what you're doing. And if you're trying to do what is right, he knows it. But he also says to this church, but I know you're weak. Now, I know I'm looking around here, and all of you are fit as fiddles. Somebody laughed. And you have the strength of a 20-year-old? I hear more laughter. What is this? That you all are in perfect shape and can take on the world, right? Now, some of you may be. I know we have some younger folks in here. But a large part of you, you just don't have the strength you used to, did you? And there are some areas in our lives where we want to do something, we just don't have the strength. And Jesus says to these people, he says, I know you've been holding on to the truth. You haven't denied me. And you're wanting to do something. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open the door no one can shut. In other words, though you're weak, I'm going to open the doors. I'm going to, as we have said, that God makes a way where there is no way. God's saying, I'm going to open those doors. I'm going to allow you to get into places to do things that in your own strength you could never do. Now, oftentimes we have an idea of the thing we want to do. Now, I want to do this. And we go to the door and it's not opening. And it's not opening. I'm like, come on, God, you should open the door. And says, I have opened a door. It's just not that one. Here's the problem. Sometimes God always opens the doors he wants open for us. God always makes a way. The problem is we don't always follow the way he wants for us to go. But if we're doing what he wants us to do, God will make a way. He will open doors. Now, sometimes those doors go to places we don't necessarily like. For Peter, Jesus told him, he says, when you get older, someone's going to take you to a place you don't want to go. Speaking of the fact that he would be martyred. And for most, it's like, that sounds like a bad end. Except we get the testimony of Peter when they want to crucify him, saying, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. What an amazing testimony. But God opens doors if we follow the path he wants us to go. Of course, the church had challenges. They have the synagogue of Satan there. Satan, of course, as we talked about before, is the accuser. And there are people there who were accusing the church. Though God is saying, I'm going to open the doors for you. I'm going to make a way. They still faced challenges from those who denied Christ, from those who fought against the way of Christ, who made accusations against the church. The very fact that he calls it the synagogue of Satan indicates that these were probably Jewish in descent who were making accusations against the church. People that should have been, in a sense, their allies because Jesus was to be the Messiah for the Jews. And what does Jesus tell this church? That he's saying, you're doing these good things. You're weak, but you keep being faithful. He says, I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial. The problem is, the translation we use the word keep, we think of as taking something and keeping it safe, like no one can touch it. You're saved away from it. Now, the word being kept here doesn't mean hid away. It's meaning kept secure in the midst of it. How many know there's a real difference in that? I'm thinking of Lord of the Rings. That's one of my shows that I really love and books I really love. You know, the Fellowship of the Ring coming around says, Frodo, we'll keep you safe. Let's go. How many realize they are not going someplace safe? They're going someplace really dangerous. But what? The friends, the people around him are keeping him in the middle of the hour of trial. And that's what the term is. It's not that I'm keeping you away, that you're not going to see any trials or see any problems. There's trials that's coming on the whole world. And God says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you in the middle of it. I'm going to be there with you to take care of you. Personally, I like the idea of not getting in the middle of the fight. I figured it's kind of like the second Karate Kids, the old one, not the newer ones, where it says the best way to avoid a punch is no be there when it happens. Yeah. Punch coming, and here, I want to be over here. No, God says, I'm going to keep you right here. When it's coming, I'll be there with you. You know, a lot of times we face trials the same as any other people in the world. And sometimes we think God ought to keep us from that, keep us protected and away from it. We should never have to face cancer. We should never have to face sick relatives. We should never have to face unemployment or a loss of funds. We should never have to face old age. Yeah, right. But what does Jesus say? I'm going to keep you in the midst of it. What do we have to do? He says, we need to hold on to what we have so no one can take our crown. And what is the one thing I would sum it up that we have? We have Jesus. We have our faith, and we need to hold on to that. Even in the midst of that hour of trial, God is there to help us, to keep us, but we have to choose to hold on to Him. We have to choose to stay where He wants us to stay and to go where He wants us to go. Yes, He'll make a way. He'll keep us in the midst of whatever it is we're facing. But we still got to hold on. God didn't take away your free will. You still have to choose. But if you choose to hold on to Him, even when you're weak, God will give you the strength to make it. And what is His promise? He says, I will make you a pillar. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're making a pillar in a building, the one word you don't want with that connected to that is the word weak, do you? You know, those of you who are sitting under the balcony, aren't you glad that the things that are holding them up aren't weak? It would be uncomfortable otherwise. Because what happens if the pillar is not strong? It falls. The promise that Jesus is making is, I will make you something that will last, that has strength. I don't know about you, there are times when I feel weak. And maybe you feel that today. You feel weak. You're like, I'm barely holding on here. It's tough. It's hard. I don't know how much more I can take. Jesus says, if you hold on, I will make you a pillar. I will make you strong. I'm going to make you something that will endure, that will last. And he said, I'm going to inscribe on you the name of God. You know, how many of you, remember, if you've ever watched the movies Toy Story. How many of you realize there was something special that happened, especially in the first one, that, you know, kind of caused problems, kind of, when the new toy all of a sudden got what? The name written on it, right? Why? Because that meant this one's special. This one's mine. God says, I'm going to put my name upon you. I'm going to mark you as being mine, my special one. Now, some people may think, I don't like the idea of God putting his name on me. I want my own name. Well, if you want to take care of yourself for all eternity, there is a place for that, but you probably are not going to enjoy it. But the thing is, when God puts his name on us, it isn't a matter of that he's saying that you're my property, I can do what I want to you. He's saying you're my beloved. You're the one that we have a special relationship to. When I put this on, it means something, doesn't it? It means that I'm a slave. Now, some of you, it may mean that. If it is, I'm sorry. Somebody, when I was getting ready, somebody offered me $20 to run away. Like, buddy, you know how much I've put into this? I want to run away now? No. But it's like, and I mentioned, still remember to this day, I looked at that guy, and said, I said, no. He said, out there is not freedom. Out there is slavery. Out there is the place where I don't have a love and I don't have someone that I can be part of. I said, in here, and I pointed to the sanctuary where I'm getting married, that's freedom. That's where I have love. And no, I didn't take on a new name that day, except the name of husband. But I'm glad I took that name on. And one of these days, Jesus is going to put a new name on me. And it's going to show and it's going to represent something far more than we can imagine. It's going to represent freedom. It's going to represent everything good. But in the meantime, we need to hold on. I also noticed something here. Here again, God is saying, in one sense, he's telling, I'm making a door for you to go through. But another thing, way, God is just telling this group, just hold on. And I go back to this again that I've said before, a couple of churches back. Sometimes the most holy thing you can do is just hold on. I'm not doing anything big right now. I'm just holding on. Guess what? That's a big deal. I was watching a movie last night, or part of one, and somebody was holding on to somebody hanging off the edge of a cliff. Oh, they were just holding on, right? To the person holding on the other side of that cliff, holding on means a lot. But here's the thing. I looked at it last night, and all of a sudden that person who was holding on to that person, I realized, at least in that setting, that person holding on, the one who was safe, it meant a lot to that person, too. Here's the thing. You holding on, it's important to you, but also it's important to Jesus because He cares for you. He cares for you. I wish I could say there was some dramatic thing at the end of this sermon that just sort of puts a fireworks on it. And y'all go away. Wow. But as I finish this message, it's like, no, it's just the truth. Hold on. Hold on, and it's going to be good. Hold on, and God will work it out. And when you feel weak, God will make a way. So we don't have to be discouraged. We are sometimes, we're human. But we can know that God will be there with us to watch over us, to help us. So take courage. I look around here today and I know many of you facing areas of your life that are hard. There are uncertainty and there's just maybe because of something in you, maybe because of somebody you care about, and you're like, God, what can I do? And maybe there's nothing you can do. By the way, personal thing here, that's tough. That's tough because I want to fix something. When there's nothing I can do, it's hard. But there is something I can do. I can hold on to the one who can make it right, who promises to make it right, the one who promises that in my weakness, He will one day make me strong. Because one day we'll see Christ. And we're going to sing that in just a second here. What a day that will be. And when that day comes, it's going to be a good day, won't it? Okay, have our musicians come forward at this time. We're going to get ready to sing together. But as they come forward, I want to pray for you. Dear Father, I ask now in the mighty name of Jesus that You be with each one here. Lord, You know what they face and what they need to hold on to. So, Lord, give them the strength when they are weak and open the doors for them, I ask. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And now, Father, I ask that You be with each one as they leave this place today with the hope of eternity and yet the face of what's coming before them in their lives. Give them the strength, Lord, to do what You've called them to do, I ask. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you, and go with God.